Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping presentations over and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. We'll continue and finish up our thoughts on the rest of the college football slate for this weekend, loaded with some big time matchups. Really excited about that. And Kyle and I were talking about that off the air, actually. It is tough when Illinois has a game that isn't big time in terms of, yep. You know, it's not like Penn State. It's not a marquee matchup. You hope that whether you're going to the game or watching on TV, it's a ho-hum, business as usual, or I should say business-like approach, and just able to dominate the game. And meanwhile, you got a bunch of other games around the country that are really exciting to watch. So that is a tough choice, admittedly, for people out there that are trying to decide whether to be in Memorial Stadium, how long to stay in, or just – swallowing the fact you might miss some other good action.
Yeah, I was saying I almost wish Illinois was on the road this week looking at this college football slate, because don't get me wrong, I love going to Illinois games, but 2:30 kickoff against Florida Atlantic, all right, then I'm missing the end of the 11 a.m. games. Obviously, I'm missing all the 2:30 games because I'll be watching Illinois FAU, and then depending on how long I stick around the area, miss maybe the kickoffs for the night slate. It's like, almost be better if Illinois was just on the road this week against somebody and could pull out the double monitor, at least for me, monitors, not TVs. I don't got room for TVs in my dorm room, but some people got the 2 TV set up and, you know, you just kind of settle in. That'd be nice, but yeah, I'm never going to complain about watching Illinois football, but I almost wish that they could have scheduled a road game.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And hopefully for those that are going to show up, they're at Memorial Stadium, they'll have a show to watch. They'll be able to watch this defense have a really, really strong and dominating performance, and also offensively to really get some things going. And it will be a fun game and give this team some momentum going into that Purdue matchup, and also just the fan base a good feeling and buying back into some of the good vibes that were there in the offseason. I'm not saying that they're all gone at this point. It's just you want to see a complete performance and not feel like you're circling back to some of the same issues in terms of what this team is battling right now. So, speaking of Penn State, they are hosting the marquee game in the conference. Of course, Ohio State Notre Dame is a huge one, but in terms of an interconference matchup, Penn State, number 7 in the country, hosting number 24, Iowa. Now, you look at the point spread, and Vegas is really believing in Penn State. It's minus 15 for the Nittany Lions. It is wide out there, night game on CBS for Penn State and Iowa. What do you think about this one? Does Iowa have a chance to hang in this one? I mean, I think at the surface level, after seeing Penn State's offense last week and knowing that Iowa is a good defensive squad, Penn State obviously has talent on defense as well. It could be a lower scoring affair, but then you go wide out, and I could see Penn State kind of blowing them out potentially.
I absolutely could see Penn State blowing them out, and I think Penn State is going to blow them out. I think Penn State, you almost kind of saw it with them offensively here against Illinois, where they were kind of running more of a vanilla offense. Clearly, they had their eyes set on that whiteout game. I think they're going to come out, and I know Iowa's defense is capable of holding them down a little bit, but I think Penn State's going to pull out some new tricks in this game, and I don't think Iowa's scoring much at all there in Happy Valley. I think Iowa's going to have a real tough time crossing midfield in that game, truly, with all the talent that Penn State has defensively. Iowa offensively, I know they put up 41 on Western Michigan, and they kept the starters in the fourth quarter so that Brian Ferentz could keep his job.
They were taking end zone shots with like 20 seconds left.
I mean, what are we – first, before I get back to my thoughts on the game, how do you give a coordinator a point-per-game clause in his contract and then, you know, because you know that's going to happen all year long, right? I mean,
of course.
I don't know how you put something like that in a contract.
Is it you're fired if you don't average 25 a game? Or is it an extra – it's a bonus, right?
His contract ends if he doesn't reach 25 points a game. If they do reach 25 points a game, a year gets added. So pretty much, yes. Like, that's not technically how it's worded. Like, you're gone. His contract is over if he doesn't get 25 points a game, and they're not going to bring him back. So he's gone. And that's what leads to stuff.
Well, they're not going to average 25 points a game.
I don't think so, but it's going to help if you can, you know,
keep
your start. Like, even if, let's say Penn State goes up 30-10 in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left and their backups are on the field. Iowa's keeping their starters on and they're going to march it down there. They're getting that other touchdown in there. That it's just so weird to me that you'd put that in a contract.
Who is Iowa's last opponent of the year? They're at Nebraska. All right, Nebraska.
Oh, man.
If you have nothing to play for, do yourself and the rest of the Big Ten a favor. Let them score.
All your starters are out with injuries. If Nebraska's got 4 wins and a bowl game's not on the line, oops.
Exactly.
Our 11 defensive starters, Lincoln. Our 11 defensive starters all have an ankle sprain this week. I don't think they're going to be able to go out there.
That would be hilarious. That would actually be – if we could – find, or it wouldn't even have to come out as far as happening. Like, if you just saw a defender who just gets tackled by the turf and all of a sudden there's an open tight end, you know they're not going to throw the wide receiver. Open tight end in the back of the end zone for Iowa, and that gives them like their 48th point, and they just hit the 25 point per game mark. That would be hilarious.
I would like to see that, though, from like Brian Ferentz's perspective. If he goes into that last week of the season and he's got to put up like 42 points to keep his job. I'd love to just have a camera on him the whole game, like calling that game. He's probably like, I mean, the animation that he'd probably start cussing out some players if they drop it. Like, he'd be, I mean, that's the pressure of that. Just imagine you 3 hours, that there's 60 minutes of football here. My offense that I'm coordinating has to put up X amount of points or I'm unemployed. I mean, that would be I want to see that. I want to see that dynamic. That would be crazy.
I guess for now they're averaging 28 points per game thanks to 41 against Western Michigan.
So would they be under 25 if they didn't have that garbage time drive where they kept all the starters out and went for it on fourth down against Western Michigan, scored a touchdown?
So take 7 off of that. Yeah, they'd be close. And then going to Penn State, where you said they might not cross the 50, which you might not be wrong. Don't they have injuries too? Isn't Luke Lachey out, the tight end?
Yeah, he's out for the season.
Oof. Yikes.
I just don't think – back to this actual matchup, I don't think Iowa's going to have a very easy time moving the football here. And so even if Iowa's defense keeps it somewhat competitive, you almost think of the same exact script of the Illinois-Penn State game where maybe Iowa's defense gets some stops and kind of keeps them in it, but is Iowa's offense going to give them any help? I don't see it happening, and I see Penn State winning this one without a whole lot of sweat. And I'm kind of high on this Penn State team. I know a lot of Illinois fans came out of that the weekend like, oh, their quarterback's kind of overrated. He didn't do much in this game. I think Illinois' defense is pretty good. I think they didn't really show a whole lot, knowing that they've got much more important games coming up here down the line. And I just think that defense and the talent that's all across that defense, I think Penn State could have the best defense in the Big Ten this year, rivaling Michigan if they live up to their potential. And so I'm kind of high on them in general, and I think they get it done in their whiteout game.
Yeah, and when you think about it, Penn State wasn't put in a situation where they had to take any chances offensively.
Yeah, good point.
Like they didn't feel pressure from Illinois' offense because they kept turning it over. And yes, they got in a situation where I think the biggest criticism you probably could say is they didn't convert some of those turnovers or red zone opportunities into touchdowns. They kicked a couple of field goals. I think passing wise, I don't know how explosive they're going to be, but I do think there's something to be said for the fact. Number one, Drew Aller is going to get better throughout the season, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And number two, they probably didn't show all they really had. They just knew they could run the football, play ball control, and ultimately, if they kept Illinois' defense on the field for most of the day, which they did, that they would wear down, and ultimately right. That was the case. So,
and Illinois had a chance to make them get more serious offensively and never could.
Their first drive out of halftime, the drive where they hit Isaiah for 30-some yards, get down to the 25, and then throw a pick the next play?
Yeah.
And on the Iowa side, I didn't think it was going to be some kind of dynamic passing attack, but I thought Cade McNamara was going to be a noticeable difference maker at quarterback. He's a great quarterback, but they have had putrid quarterback play. While they're 3-0 and they're currently keeping Brian Ferentz's job, I don't know that McNamara's stat line leads you to believe that he's going to do that.
No, I don't either. And yeah, the 41 against Western Michigan was kind of stat padded late, and I don't take a whole lot of stock into that. They beat an Iowa State team who lost to Ohio this week, and they can't score at all. I mean, their offense may be worse than Iowa's offense based on putting up three against Ohio this weekend. So I don't know. They, again, have they maybe been the most impressive team in the Big Ten West so far? By default, yes. But I'm not impressed by them at all. I'm not all that scared of them. I do think they have their typical very good defense. But in this matchup in particular, I don't think good defense, kind of similarly to Illinois. I mean, I think you can draw a lot of parallels in the matchup based on what Penn State did to Illinois this week. Now Penn State goes back home against an offense that's probably a little worse, defense that's maybe a little better. Like, I think it's almost a similar script where, yeah, is Penn State going to light it up and put 40 on Iowa? I doubt it. But I don't think Iowa's offense is going to do enough to really make it much of a game. So I think it's almost probably a similar final to what we saw here in Champaign, like a 30-10 or a 34-10 or a 30-7 or something like that is kind of what I see here.
The crazy thing with Iowa, I think we did talk about this a little bit going into the season. Their schedule is so easy. Like after Penn State, here's what they have. Is this not a misprint on ESPN? They literally play four straight home games from late October into November. So here's what they have after Penn State. I'm looking at this on ESPN. They play Michigan State at home, Purdue at home, at Wisconsin. Then they go consecutively home against Minnesota, home against Northwestern, home against Rutgers, home against Illinois.
That Northwestern game is at Wrigley Field.
Okay. Gotcha. So I just see verses there. So, all right. Well, pretty much probably. Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Who's showing up to watch Northwestern?
Our fans going to be all fired up to watch them after in game, 9 of their season?
Heck no. It's November 4th. It's practically boo-booey season there at Northwestern. They'll be looking forward to Northwestern basketball. How much that says about the football program that they're going to be far more fired up for basketball. But, yeah, even so, Northwestern at Wrigley Field, but – let me kind of recap from after that at Wisconsin game, which is going to be probably the difference maker in the Big Ten West chase, at least in terms of Iowa's chances. We'll see how Wisconsin ultimately fares. But home against Minnesota, Wrigley Field game against Northwestern, home against Rutgers, home against Illinois, and then at Nebraska. Like their schedule is super easy.
By comparison. Totally. And that's the thing with Iowa. I don't think they're very good again, but I think if you ask me today, I think they probably do win the Big Ten West, and it's not really them being good. It's the rest of the division being bad and their schedule being the easiest. I hate to say that, but that's kind of the state of the Big Ten West division right now. Now, obviously, I think it's still up for grabs, but yeah, you read that schedule, it's pretty alarming. And like, let's say Illinois really turns things around. Well, then they go to Iowa the second to last week of the year. Maybe Wisconsin, knowing that they have Iowa at home, if they can figure things out, I don't think any other team. Again, I still think it's the three, and I'm not all that confident in Illinois. I'm not saying I'm very confident in Illinois' chances, but I still think it's the three teams we talked about at the beginning of the year, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois. And based on schedule, based on how they've looked so far, and based on a couple other factors, I think Iowa is probably the top of that group right now, but it's not an impressive group.
Before we take a break, and then we'll play Brett Bielema on the other side, let me pitch this question to you when you talk about it. If I force you, you're going to be at Memorial Stadium, and there are plenty of other games to watch if you're sitting back at home. If I force you to watch one of these Big Ten games, which one are you picking? Rutgers at Michigan, Maryland at Michigan State, or Minnesota at Northwestern?
Do I have to?
You do have to watch one of those, yeah. Not really, but for the sake of the argument, yeah.
Oh, man. Can we take a break and I'll give you my answer after that? I can't decide.
I think I'd go with Michigan terrible. And Rutgers. I mean, it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
The spread's 24, but Rutgers is – they're 3-0. I want to find out if they're any kind of decent. And Michigan,
yeah, you know,
finally Harbaugh back. I mean, I would rather watch that game, I think.
I think you persuaded me there, and also I think just based on my what I want to see for the end of the year, what I don't even know the right way to say it, but I'm most interested in watching Michigan,
yeah,
in
right.
terms of the rest of the season and just getting a sense of some of their players and how they look, and J.J. McCarthy now, who had a very good first 2 weeks through three picks last week. They'd be the most interesting team for me to just kind of see what they have in terms of what the Big Ten race will look like at the end of the year.
Yeah, the first 3 weeks for Michigan, it kind of set up to where they didn't even have to try and they could still win by four touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, he threw three picks and they dominated.
Yeah.
So
now they have to maybe halfway try against Rutgers, especially they want to cover that
spread.
Yeah,
is Rutgers like decent?
I don't know.
It's a good point.
I haven't watched a second of Rutgers football, and I'll stand by that. Probably for another week or so.
Yeah, because I won't actually.
Or month.
For the hypothetical, I'll
or
choose
season.
This game, but I won't be choosing this game with all the other ones that are on tap this weekend.
Yeah, there you have it. Randy says, don't discount Wisconsin. Washington State is better than you think. Could be a fair point. We're going to find out a lot about Wisconsin as we led into this segment going till tomorrow night as they battle the Boilers there in West Lafayette. We're going to catch a break, and then on the other side, we'll hear from Brett Bielema, who met with the media today here in Champaign to get his final thoughts on the matchup against Florida Atlantic coming up on Saturday. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley. The fall semi-annual sale is going on now at Ashley Home Store. For a limited time, get up to 50% off or buy today and pay 0% interest for 6 months with no minimum purchase. The fall semi-annual sale happening right now, only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Hurry in to your local Ashley, located at 602 West Anthony Drive, to shop and save today. To share the view from our house, go to ilhomestores.com or hit us on Instagram at ilhomestores.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
A biker, a Baptist minister, a Catholic priest, a veteran, and a farmer walk into a trucking company. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the diversification of the driver force at Gale Ferrix Trucking. At GFT, we welcome all qualified Class A CDL holders. So if you have 2 years of experience or less with military service, a clean driving record, and a positive work ethic, we want you to fill one of our three open regional van positions today. You will have every weekend at home and earn the money to enjoy it with our $1,200 weekly gross pay guarantee, in addition to all the other great advantages GFT offers. During the month of September, we are paying a $4,000 sign-on bonus to experienced drivers that want to work for a company that works as hard for them as they work for us. Call 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Party at Pia's Friday before our Illini game on Saturday. Join us after 3 with prizes to sign up for, like Illini jerseys, tickets to the game. See the Bullet Woody tailgate wagon with $5 shots of Bullet rye and bourbon. This teardrop camper folds out on the Pia's patio for the ultimate party experience as you get the latest game details from Derek Piper and myself with our live show from 3 to 5. On the Drive, Pia's 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back in the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Heath weighs in on the U of I Illini League text line. He says, so let's hypothetically say Illinois and Iowa are tied for the West going into the last game. Iowa has the tiebreaker because they just beat us, but we have Northwestern left and they have Nebraska. He says, all Iowa has to do is play conservative football and win. Do they go into air raid because they have to score 35 to save Brian's job? That's a good question.
I think in that situation, if Brian Ferentz had any loyalty to the program, who's probably kept him on for far too long, loyalty to his father, he would choose winning the division and hoping to a Big Ten championship game. Where wouldn't you get, you'd get two more chances to pad your stats, wouldn't you, if you went to the, I mean, does the postseason count? We'd have to dig into the contract.
You might not want it to, because you're probably going to play Penn State or Michigan, maybe Ohio State.
Yeah. I think the ideal plan for them would be to start blowing Nebraska out, so then they could run up the score late.
True.
But those Iowa-Nebraska games, regardless of how bad Nebraska's been, have always been tight. So, I think he would choose to win the division over his 25 points a game. Yeah. But yeah, then again, it's choosing one season's result over his job. So
you know that it'll be spitting snow the day after Thanksgiving there for that game in Lincoln. It just seems like that's always the scene when those two teams play that Friday after Thanksgiving. But I think one argument that Kirk Ferentz could use to keep his son around is like, who cares? Yeah, his contract is now voided or elapsed, whatever you want to call it, but he was the offensive coordinator and team that went to the Big Ten championship game. He did what he had to do to get us there. But if I'm Brian Ferentz, the fan base hates you. You're like the scapegoat. You're the guy that the media is pestering all the time. And now they've put this just crazy clause in your contract. Why do you still want to be there?
Because it's the only chance he's going to get to be a Power 5 offensive coordinator. Okay, he's not getting that job anywhere else.
I guess that's a good answer.
What would his other job prospects look like? Would he maybe get to be an offensive coordinator for like a very low-level FBS team? I don't even know if that would happen.
It's a fair point. Fair point. I guess
be an offensive assistant somewhere, or he wouldn't. Don't you think that what's probably going to end up happening is once his contract is over and he's no longer the offensive coordinator at Iowa, he's just going to rejoin the staff as like a special offensive assistant or some title
an analyst
made
or,
up. Yeah, an analyst. Mm-hmm. Like these, that's what's going to happen, right? And he's probably going to get paid more than most analysts.
Or who's Kirk Ferentz? I don't know this answer. Who's Kirk Ferentz's like best friend in the industry? Like, why he'll probably just go to some other staff, but yeah, he'd probably be an analyst or some kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, Iowa has not had the best of talent in terms of offense, but their production has been abysmal, and he's got to be able to take the fall for that. So it is a good answer that, hey, he gets to call the shots for a Big Ten program, and yeah, if this job falls through, or if he says, hey, I'm tired of you people, can he go anywhere else? That's a good question. It gets me thinking. I am going off the rails a little bit, but it made me think of Miles Smith. Miles Smith having a job under Lovey Smith. And then yesterday on my radar, because Alan Williams resigned, and I don't know if you saw or listened to the Pat McAfee show today. So there was the tweets circling around about, did the FBI raid his house? Did they raid Hallis Hall? That was rumored. And then the Bears say, no, unequivocally, nobody came into our building and did that. Pat McAfee went on the record and said, my people have told me that they did raid his house and that there's some real serious stuff going on there. Anyways, so there's a Twitter account. I think it's for a show on Comcast Sportsnet. I'm doing a long lead in here. Long story short, they tweeted, Lovey is available, for the defensive coordinator. I did tweet about it. Like, if Lovey somehow, if that happened, that would just, oh, my God.
If Lovie Smith was announced as the Bears' new defensive coordinator tomorrow, will you be watching the rest of the season?
I will that night or day or whenever I have the time. I think I might burn everything Bears I have. I think I've needed one final. I've taken, they say straws on the camels. I have a lot of straws I'm carrying around. I've needed one final reason to just denounce my Bears fandom. I think that would be it. I think it would.
What about this hypothetical for you? Would this be enough to denounce your Bears fandom? Let's say the Bears are the number one overall pick again this year. So they're the worst team in football. Justin Fields doesn't work out. But hey, Caleb Williams is there. Caleb Williams says, which his father has said he might do.
No.
We don't want to get ruined in Chicago. We're not going there. So pick someone else, Bears. We're not gonna go to Chicago.
That'd be devastating.
Go back to college.
That would hurt. That would hurt a lot, and honestly, I couldn't blame him. I couldn't totally blame him. That'd be a reason to walk away. It'd be like if Caleb Williams can walk away from the first-round pick or first pick of the draft, I mean, I feel like I can as well.
That's not really going to happen, though, is it? Like,
No
way that Caleb Williams is going to refuse to be the number one pick in this year's draft because he doesn't like the organization. Whoever has the number one pick next year is going to be awful. So, what are you waiting for?
True. It's a good point.
Just sign that $30 million guaranteed deal as the number one pick, or it might be more than that. I don't know what it looks like. Like, there's no way that's happening, is there? I mean,
I mean, we haven't had that happen since Eli Manning, right? Eli Manning pulled that.
But he didn't go back to, he just said, I mean, what Caleb Williams
dad
has
said is,
you have to trade it because I think he was out of eligibility or whatever it was. Caleb Williams' dad said, we'll just come back to USC and make more NIL for a year if we don't like the number one pick in the draft. That can't happen.
If they do come out with that NCAA football 24, then maybe he can be in that game and on the cover, and that'd be cool.
Yeah, but aren't they only going to give him $500
I think he's had a comment of like, I wouldn't take just only $500 to be in that game, so. Maybe he doesn't just go in the draft. I don't know. We went so far.
Yeah, we did.
I led us in that direction, but it's kind of fun fodder as we try to make our way into game day, which is coming up on Saturday. Speaking of which, Brett Bielema spoke to the media today to give us his final preview of Florida Atlantic. Here is what Brett Bielema had to say to the media today over on campus.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
No, it's not.
What do they have there?
Commercial.
What?
Wrong button. There you go.
One of the things we've talked about all week, right? Saturday is supposed to be about 85 and sunny, one of the hottest days we probably could play under. So it was a good blessing yesterday. Kind of got hotter than we thought it was going to be. And then today, with the rain slash some lightning forecasted, we were able to kind of spread it out, had our defense coming in a little bit early. They started out in the indoor. Then we did some special teams. Then we brought the offense out. So we got a full practice, but everything was inside here and kind of simulated as best we could to get the weather we're going to get on Saturday. So from an injury standpoint, everybody's back other than the three guys I talked about on Monday. I thought we've had a really good week of practice. I think our coaches overall in general thought Tuesday was probably our best Tuesday. Wednesday was our best Wednesday. We're just getting off the field now on Thursday. But I like where our guys have been at all week and excited for the opportunity. So that opened up for questions.
What kind of week has Luke had?
Good. You know, I think the big thing for any player, obviously the quarterback gets a lot of attention when you have a game that you're not happy with, right? You got to learn from it. It can't be something you carry forward, but it is part of your past. You have to learn to take the things from it, learn from it, and grow. And I thought literally from Sunday to Tuesday, when we practiced Wednesday, today, it's been definitely an upward tick.
But not to say that the running game is your identity, yeah. But your inability or maybe the lack of getting that going consistently, how much does that affect you guys talking about finding your offensive identity?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, whatever our identity is, we got to be able to establish it right now. I don't think offense, defense, or special teams, you'd be able to look out there and say, this is what Illinois' identity is. Literally just finished up with their offense. That was kind of my challenge. It's like, hey, I know what you want it to be or what we want it to be as coaches. We know we've talked about it. Now we got to see it come to life on Saturday, and hopefully this Saturday will be a big, big part of that.
But you talked about having coaches talk about your program, and when you saw FAU on the schedule, what does a Tom Herman team kind of look?
You know, we've known since I came here that FAU was coming, right? Obviously, the powers that be, the coaching world, landed Tom where he is. Not just Tom, have a tremendous amount of respect for their DC, and I have known each other probably going back to the mid 2005, 2006, I think, when I hired and worked with several guys he had worked with. Several other coaches on his staff, you know, guys that have been head coaches at other places. So Tom and I have never actually gone head to head, but known each other for a while indirectly through a lot of friends. So I have a huge amount of respect, and you see the way they played, you know, in those first three games, they've gotten better every week. And, you know, it's something that I'm excited for and I know we're challenged for.
It's just two snaps, but what can you do for Hunter Whiteneck? Big picture to get out there, especially against that front.
Yeah, you know, Hunter's been a guy has really tried to get a better control of his just his weight, his body, and doing what he's doing. He's been a guy that's been very impressive, I would say, since we came back in July. He's kind of taken it upon himself. We've really challenged him to be more than what he's been, and I think Saturday, even though it was those number of reps, he's been working in at guard as well, so I'm excited to see him go. I think he'll get more opportunities this weekend.
You know, Clayton Bush filled in when Matt was hurt before he came back, and now he'll probably do it again. Just when you first saw him in the portal, like what stood out to you? I mean, that's a guy that can fit into your second.
Yeah, you know, so we have guys that literally alert us as soon as somebody gets in the portal that we might be interested in, and then obviously have some connections to the Southern Illinois staff, so they reached out to us as soon as we made mention of him. And, you know, you see an athletic kid that can run, even going back, watch his West Kentucky film. You know, he's a guy that actually some people in his early career thought about playing on offense. He's got really good hands, good ball awareness, can be back there as a punt returner. It took him a while to kind of adjust how we play things, but, you know, we made a couple nice plays on Saturday covering a good tight end. So he's got definitely some man skills that are really good, does a good job for us on special teams. He's trying to find his niche, and a guy that we're very excited to have here.
What trade specifically made you look for? Like, if you're trying to add a guy in the portal, you haven't recruited for a year. I mean, is there something in particular that's like
for him or for
maybe just in general? Just
well, I think portal. If you're just talking big picture portal, that's a question that you look for guys that fill a position. Skill set's part of it, but you look for guys like, for instance, we needed safeties, right? Like we needed guys that we felt could come in and contribute. So that took us to Nicario. It took us to Demetrius. And then it ultimately, obviously, took us to Clayton. So we added three safeties through the portal. All three of them have been involved in our first 3 weeks. So I think we hit on the skill set of it. Obviously, there's still work in progress, but it was more the position than the skill set. The skill set, the position we're recruiting them drives the skill set. But, you know, like, you know, for us personally, in the wide receiver position, we were looking for one guy, right? Like there towards the end, which drove us to Kapka Jones, who hasn't been on the field, but that's more because the guys in front of him have been playing well.
When I know you said there's a group of freshmen you guys wanted to get in last week, what kind of drives you to that decision ultimately to push the button on them? And then I guess what's the process been?
Yeah, for me as a head coach, I just sit back and watch everything, right? So I kind of, when you're a coordinator or a position coach, you hone in on your responsibility, what you're doing. And I literally watch guys make plays. I see the way players react to them. I think that's a big part of it for me. See something happen during a practice, or maybe this way something happens during a game. For me, Aiden Loffrey, when he made a little sidestep juke move on a kickoff return against Kansas, that kind of triggered something in my mind. Same thing with Caden Fagan. He comes rolling through there, and I see the way our guys react when he gets the ball in his hands. Declan Dooley hit a couple punts yesterday that like really kind of like, hey, I got made him repeat it three times in a row. I got everybody buzzing about him. I think as a head coach, when you're dealing with young players, you want them to feel the confidence, but you want the players around them to feel the confidence. And that's kind of what drove it. Josh Crouch is another guy I've been banging on the defense coaches. Let's get him involved. He just continues to make plays. Dylan Rosiak, his ability as a linebacker, has just really jumped out. So as a head coach, you just watch and listen and observe on the outside world, and that's got to apply to what you see on the field.
You've got these experienced receivers that you feel good about, maybe just because of that experience, but what Hank, Kenari, Malik did last week, does that push for a little more time?
I think Ashton especially, right? Ashton is a guy that showed up with a big play when it mattered. They all matter, but obviously Ashton was a big one there. I think Kenari's got exceptional skill set that is a little bit different, similar to Isaiah, but different from the others. I would say that Malik falls into the skill set that you see kind of with Casey and Pat on the perimeter, same way with Ashton. So each one of those guys have shown some things. Hank Beatty's kind of a unique skill set. He's a little bit of everybody. He kind of plays all three positions. I always laugh, me and Josh, when we're together, Josh Whitman will always say, there's the best hands. He always says he has the best hands on the team, and he does do a really good job of catching the ball, punt returner, just kind of a journeyman. Like, he always looks like he's just about ready to get taken down, and he finds a way to make it happen. Those guys in general, and then the more they can relieve those other guys, the better we'll feel.
As the summer temperatures rise, make sure your energy bills stay low. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing to upgrade to a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Dogtown offers financing, including 0% no interest for qualifying customers. And if you have rooms in your house that don't seem to stay cool, call and ask about the great rebates on the Dyack and Douglas mini splits. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
The best steaks in Central Illinois belong to one institution, and that's the Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. I'm Jay Lehman. I'm a regular at Long Branch Steakhouse. I take my wife. I take my kids. I love the fried pickles, fried mushrooms, the onion rings, and, of course, the steaks. The ribeye is my personal favorite. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9. Tell Donnie Jay Lehman sent you. Don't forget the mac and cheese. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 in downtown Gifford.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. Your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We'll be right back.
right, everybody. Brace yourselves.
Oh, boy.
What we're about to tell you is going to hurt you.
Why does Twitter exist?
Man? I mean,
it just exists just to show me stuff like this.
There's a lot of funny stuff on Twitter. Stuff that make you laugh. Stuff will make you go, whoa. Stuff will make you go, why is this on my timeline? And stuff that will inevitably make you question your decisions as far as your fandom. So let's just dive right into this. So Tom Brady, I don't know what the occasion is. He's speaking at some event. He's talking about his time in college football, and he didn't have a super decorated college career. He went to Michigan, as Illini fans know well, and didn't exactly light it up. Now, he played well enough to get drafted in the sixth round, but it took some time for him to ultimately win that job. And you look at he went to Michigan in 95, redshirted, 96, 5 pass attempts, 97, 15 pass attempts. 98, he had 14 touchdowns, 10 picks, about 2,400 yards to the air. 99, 16 touchdowns, 6 INTs, completion percentage around 61%, and that was his final year in college, enabled then to go to the NFL, and as a late draft pick, turned into the best quarterback of all time. So he's talking about his time in college, and Kyle found this on Twitter. We looked it up on YouTube, and you need to hear this and just hold on to something. If you're driving, just pull over, okay? Here it goes.
So we pieced together enough clips to like go, hey, man, Tommy, where do you think you want to go to college? And I was like, I don't know, like University of Illinois. And I was looking at a lot of like, maybe not top tier college programs. And in the end, I was like, well, yeah, just let's send one to USC. Let's send one to Michigan. And I was like, do you think we should send one to Michigan, Dad? And he's like, yeah, may as well. You know, you think you like it. Of course, I'm from California. You know, Michigan, that's a long way from California.
Sorry, there's an ad there, but the first school he lists is the University of Illinois.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I we'll get back to hear this clip in a second. Let's play a little bit more of that. I did do a little research to kind of go with this, but is that the end of it as far as Illinois is concerned?
Yeah, as far as Illinois is concerned, he goes on to talk about how at the last second he took a visit to Michigan after kind of every other school was turning him away type thing. But clearly Illinois was interested, I guess. But that's just, it's weird. Weird that.
Telling me that the greatest quarterback of all time, now that he's retired, sits up on a stage and tells the story of his recruitment, and the first school that comes out of his mouth is, I was looking at going to the University of Illinois. Ouch.
Oh, boy.
Now, I did pull up a Bleacher Report article. I don't know if they did the article or if they're taking some quotes from some others. It looked like they did the article and talked to Tom Brady's father, who's Tom Brady Sr. And they talk about putting together some film clips, like he was alluding to there in the video, and that a high academic institution was important to them as well. So that was something that they were really considering. Here's a quote. As they sent out the film to a number of schools, I think they said about 54, they heard back from a handful, and they put together a top five. Quoted from Tom Brady Sr. Here's your top five. Cal Berkeley, UCLA, USC, Michigan, and Illinois. Those are the final schools Tommy was considering. If athletics didn't work out, he'd be proud to have a degree from a great academic school. Those were five pretty darn good schools. So he had a pretty good list there. Now, what it goes on to say is, when Tom was a senior in high school, I think USC was the only school that went out. Now, they were there in California. He's playing out there on the West Coast. They were the only school that went and watched him play for one of his games. It says, in fact, Brady Sr. said that Mike Riley, offensive coordinator for the Trojans, was the only coach who came to watch Tom play in a game during his senior season. But when he went back and reported to the USC head coach what he saw, the USC coach was not interested. Michigan watched some of his film, ultimately decided they wanted to make a move on him, and he ends up going to Michigan.
Just crazy. Did you have any idea that Illinois and Tom Brady had at any point was a possibility?
Zero.
In 1995.
No, I did know that Aaron Rodgers has dropped.
Right.
That he was very, very interested in going to Illinois. I think he went to camp. He went to a football camp
It's a little different situation. Aaron Rodgers, if Illinois wanted Aaron Rodgers probably had Illinois.
This one doesn't seem
quite that cut and dry.
Illinois
screwed up. And also, like you said, Tom Brady wasn't a top-tier college quarterback. At the same time, let's get hypothetical for a second and say he has the same college career that he had at Michigan and still has the same NFL career. Well, producing the greatest football player of all time would have been quite the recruiting pitch for Illinois, but I'm getting way ahead of myself here.
I mean,
the bottom line is the fact that that is the first, like you said, we're hearing about, he's retired now with his 7 Super Bowls, and on a podcast or whatever it was, it looked like he was like on an event stage at speaking at some athlete event. The University of Illinois comes out of his mouth, and his recruiting story is tough to swallow.
As the first school he mentions. Now, I gave you the list there, what it ultimately was. But think about this. If USC was the only school they sent their offensive coordinator to go watch him, what if Illinois would have went and watched him
right. And
went back and reported, say, we want him, and then he says, all right, USC came and watched me, they don't want me. And then Illinois is the only other school in my 5 that actually came out and saw one of my games. I'm going to Illinois.
Yeah. And it clearly that was on his radar with the fact that he's mentioned in Illinois at this point. It seemed like during the break, I was trying to listen to the rest of that comment from the event. And it seemed like Michigan was kind of, like, if any other school made a move on him and wanted to take him before he went to Michigan, he probably was going to end up there because he didn't think that Michigan wanted him. And it was kind of like the last resort. Like, Michigan got back to him and said, we'll have you for a visit, and then decided to take him. Like, if Illinois had made a move when USC didn't, like you said, probably doesn't get to the point where he's going to Michigan.
That's crazy. And the quote from Aaron Rodgers, he said it on the Dan Patrick Show, he says, we were in Champaign. I was playing the University of Illinois, who I wanted to go to out of high school. I was playing for Cal, on and on and on and on. That's tough. And as I was putting the timelines together, so you pointed this video out to me during the break, and then I started looking into it. So Tom Brady, like I mentioned, went to college in 95. Like, Jeff George was early 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Can you pull up what his years were at Illinois?
I believe he got drafted in 1990.
Okay. So in some kind of a similar window, Illinois could have went from having Jeff George, who was the top pick in the draft, a handful of years later. Now, he didn't really hit in terms of being a starting quarterback. Now, maybe a different situation if he would have been at Illinois versus at Michigan. He maybe was the starter in the mid-90s, but you would have had Tom Brady. Then, hopefully, you'd still have had in that quarterback room and in the early 2000s, Kurt Kitner, who leads you to a Sugar Bowl and had a really, really nice career here in Champaign. And then, here shows up Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
Aaron Rodgers, who played in college at Cal 2003-2004. Now, didn't he end up going JUCO before that?
I think so.
So, if you would have taken him out of high school, you would have had Aaron Rodgers in your quarterback room either 01 or 02. But imagine that. Even I was just using Jeff George kind of for context back, but it kind of set the picture of back when Illinois was kind of, I wouldn't say they're known for it, but they were known to have good quarterback play. Like, Tony Eason was drafted in the NFL, Jeff George, and then Tom Brady shows up. And what if the fallout of all of that would have been, you would have had Tom Brady, then Aaron Rodgers. Illinois would have been known as quarterback U. Think about that.
Unbelievable. The thing is, when you're talking about that, those things could have happened if Illinois made them happen, or at least based on the stories that have been told. God dang. That's brutal.
Lindy brings this up. Butkus, the best defensive player of all time. Brady, the best quarterback. Both could have been at Illinois, and that would help recruiting big time. Yes, 100%. I think that some people would argue, too, that, yes, it was a long time ago, and if you're trying to sell this to current recruits, it wouldn't be as easy to sell as Tom Brady or even Dick Butkus, but, like, Red Grange might have been the best collegiate running back of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. I mean, he's in the conversation, right. Obviously. Oh, man. That sent me through a loop. 217 says, when Aaron Rodgers played for Cal, I was at the game. I believe Cal beat us on a field goal. Can Kyle check that? I remember being at that game as well. I think it was a decent. I think it was close. I don't remember if it was a game-winning field goal for Cal back in either 03 or 02, one of the two.
September 20th, 2003.
2003, yep.
At Memorial Stadium, Cal came in and won 31-24.
Okay.
And, of course, the box score, I am still efforting to see what Mr. Rodgers did in that game. But it's not available on ESPN, but 7-point win for Cal here in Champaign.
Richard says, first Aaron Rodgers, now Tom Brady. What the heck?
Rodgers, 20 for 37, 263 yards, a touchdown in that game. So nothing spectacular.
No. Who was quarterbacking for Illinois?
It was
John Beecher?
Yep. He went 35 for 57, 430 yards, three touchdowns. So he outplayed Aaron Rodgers, but of course.
We don't want you, Aaron.
Illinois.
Got the transfer from Iowa.
Couldn't figure it out.
No. That's insane, man. That's really, really crazy. Now, like you said, the context is it wasn't as cut and dry as what Aaron Rodgers has made it seem, right. But wow.
If Illinois took Aaron Rodgers was going to end up at Illinois. If Illinois had more interest in Tom Brady, would he have ended up there? We don't quite know that, but we know that it was on the table, and that's enough to make everybody. I know I wouldn't have been alive to experience it, but at least for someone like you or others out there, it's at least enough to make you just feel sick to your stomach.
Oh, man. I mean, last year, watching Tommy DeVito play quarterback, and look, he wasn't anything extraordinary. He was a above-average Big Ten starting quarterback. And it was like something that you hadn't – it felt like you hadn't seen before. Like, oh, someone can make a third down throw on third and four who can move in the pocket and have a quick release and make a good decision. Oh, we can actually throw the ball on first down. We can play action and throw the ball down the sideline. I was like, what? You can do that? Like, Illinois can have a quarterback that does that? The quarterback play through the end of the – into the Beckman era, I mean, into Lovey, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. I mean, even Westlont turned out to be in my opinion, a pretty big disappointment based on what Illinois thought they were going to get and what he showed year one and then ultimately fizzled out down the stretch of his career here. Nathan Shieldhouse was the last really good quarterback that Illinois had. So for Illinois to go through all of that, and obviously, recruiting-wise, if Aaron Rodgers is doing what he does on Sundays, if Tom Brady's doing what he does on Sundays, through all of that time, and the Super Bowls that Tom Brady wins and the MVPs that Aaron gets, like, that never happens for Illinois. You wouldn't imagine. Now, like, Cal is not some football powerhouse. They're not exactly raking in the recruits because they can put their stamp on Aaron Rodgers. Michigan's doing fine, but that is tough to come to the realization with.
Yeah, I didn't expect to have that be one of our talking points today on the show. But here, what I want to do, though, is when I get in here tomorrow, I'm going to put that in a hotkey. And assuming that Lon, because I don't know if Lon follows that Twitter account.
Surely
or whatever.
Not.
He's watching his son play golf right now. I doubt he's listening to us. Assuming that he hasn't heard that, I want you to just set it up like you got to hear this. I'll play it, and I just want to hear his reaction because I feel like he's not going to be too thrilled about it.
I want to hear what Lon has to say about that. On that note, though, we do got to get out of here. What's the basketball comp to that?
Oh, man.
If LeBron, after his career, says, you know what?
Yeah.
No one knows this, but before I got my Hummer in high school and I was going to the pros and didn't worry about my eligibility or anything, I think I was going to go to Illinois. Like, a lot of people thought I was going to go to Ohio State. But I think I was going to go to Illinois. That would be a comparable one. I know Shaq, like Shaq actually visited Champaign. I learned that within the last couple of years, didn't know that. And what if Shaq came out and said, yeah, something went wrong on my visit. They said they liked playing small ball, but I was going to go to Illinois if they wanted a true center.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, not to ruin anybody's
night. That's Illinois sports for you, folks.
Yeah, no, I know. It is interesting. That's the bottom line of it. So, anyways, we had fun with it. Appreciate everybody listening in. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be at Pia's. Come check us out. West Springfield Avenue, 3 to 5. Hang out with us. Kyle will be back here running the board. And we'll have the Tom Brady clip queued up.